Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-host Chris Sardern and Bill Johnson. The Watchman Weekly is a ministry of the Threshing Floor and can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Bill.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Happy to be here this evening.
Yeah, me too.
Looking forward to see what we have brought to lay out on the table here.
Yeah, me too.
Audience, this is a we rescheduled our normal day and had a pre-show and felt a couple things in our heart that we wanted to get into. This show we're going to bypass some of the normal format and kind of roll with the punches as they go. We're going to try and give you, the audience, the snares. The snares that are being propagated right now, currently, and we're going to take a look at it prophetically, and we're going to take a look at it with some speculation as to how to prepare yourself for these worldly events going on. Brother Chris.
Yeah, and, we want to say that, welcome any new listeners, and we are really encouraged by the fact that we do see new people coming on board all the time. Slowly, real slowly, one at a time. You know, every couple days I get a person asking to be a Facebook friend, or, we see new comments on the blog, on the website, and it's just very encouraging to us. I want to just tell everybody that, and, we really appreciate you and all the dialogues back and forth with the emails and the, questions and just encouragement. It's definitely the principle of the one another's in Scripture, how we encourage one another and bear one another's burdens. And in fact, that's a reciprocal pronoun in that while I'm bearing your burdens, you're bearing my burdens. That's the way God designed it. And, that's been, it's at work here because we've got a really neat body of Christ, a true body of Christ that is built upon, his rock. And, we'll probably touch on this later on, something that we've been noticing out there in the, in the alternative media is that no matter who it is, what it is, it's all there's the underlying theme everywhere is unity, but it's a false unity when they're laying down their differences, quote unquote, and compromising truth. And yes, the Lord did call us to be unified as the body of Christ, but it's got to be in the truth. We can't be compromising the truth to get along, because Jesus did not come to bring peace. He came to bring a sword. That's the big lie that man is going to achieve peace on earth. And it's a noble cause, but anybody that believes that doesn't read their Bible. Because we see in the Scripture that planet Earth is about separation. And it's a place where God separates out His people. And you know, that's what we're here for, is to allow you to find your way in that. And I just want to say thanks again to everyone, all the listeners, and you know who you are, that we talk during the week, and it's just so edifying and it's such an encouragement. Thanks.
Brother Bill?
Yes, I'm very pleased when I see those also. They lift me up and bring a lot of happiness to me. Yeah, if you see a movement that has a good guy, because they've all got a good guy, beware. There's only one good guy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's his way. You know, it's not Judas's way. They all have a way of wanting to do it Judas's way. You know, Judas came in and he was annoyed with the fact that the woman was anointing Christ with the oil, and because Jesus, you know, she wasn't doing it Judas's way. And, you know, of course, Jesus did not rebuke that woman for doing that. And he said that that woman would be remembered forever because of that. And this is what really upset Judas, because he wasn't doing it his way. And this is where I see this unity and this religion and everything is going, is they're, you know, they're wanting to do it their way. And a good shepherd, a good steward of the Lord will point you towards Jesus Christ. If they're pointing you towards something other than Jesus Christ, beware. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Amen.
And I can't say enough, audience, the new members are so important to us. We learn from all of you. We read everything.
Absolutely.
We read everything. There's been great growth in terms of people teaching, you know, this gospel. You know, if you look at the aspect that we're the Joe Lunchbox crew trying to give an understanding of the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and present the true renderings of Scripture to give a spiritual understanding to this generation, you know, our message is the salvation found through Jesus Christ. And around you in the world is turmoil. And we have, you know, manifestations that have spiritual signatures all over the globe now. Chris, you want to bring us up to speed on anything on your heart on that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Bob. Yeah, I had a moment of clarity, really, basically just it all kind of came together this morning in that I just start with where I got on board with everything. You know, being a seeker friendly church guy, I never was thrilled about the whole seeker movement. You know, the lukewarm storytelling sessions on Sunday morning from the pulpit, you know, with the mentality that, you know, we can't defend. We have to keep the gospel message light so that we entice, you know, the people, the seekers from the community to come in and, you know, find their place in this, you know, social environment that they've created. And, you know, that all ran its course. And
I actually ran into some of that on forums also as well.
Oh, it's everywhere.
Same mentality on the forums, like, we can't say this because it might run somebody off.
Yeah, if I had a nickel for every time I was shushed, you know, in a small group for saying something, you know, offensive or you know, there's a new guy over there, be careful or whatever. And, and then at the same time, I was just waiting. I don't know what, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what was going to happen. I always just thought that, you know, this thing was going to pass and it would get back on track again.
Actually what you're describing there, and in my experience too, I remember one night so well, is you're describing a form of gathering under a false unity once again.
That's right. Sure.
That's what they're looking to do, is gather under, they're not looking to gathering under the truth in Jesus Christ, but they're looking to gather under some kind of unity that they figured out in their mind.
And audience, your snare is they want you to agree. To disagree. Okay, they want to be your palsy and say, well, you know, that's not what we're thinking. Well, if you've listened to our shows, And you know, the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation is found in repentance. And it's found in the gospel, the word. So if you have your Bible in your hand and you know your Bible, you know, you have the proper rendering of scripture through the Holy Spirit teaching you this, then this will happen to you with anybody in any church. If you go into a church with the truth, everything that we've discussed, they will try and snare you. They will try to cozy up to you. They will lie in wait for you, and then they will gather a couple more snakes till they're I forget the term for snakes. When snakes are gathered, they're a...
I used to know that.
Is that a brood of vipers? Or
brood of vipers? Maybe. It sounds good to me. But they're lying in wait for you.
Yep.
And they want
a nest.
They want a nest.
Yeah.
They want to come out of their holes. And they want to just bite you and then crawl back into their holes because you're going to be dead and they're going to eat you. Or they want to strangle you. Or they want to spit venom in your eyes so you're blind. These are the signatures of a serpent. Remember what Jesus said of the Pharisees. The Pharisees are serpents, your generation of vipers. Cockatrices, asps. You know, all the attributes are analogies for you to recognize, well, that person, I'm an ox. I'm a multitude. I'm a dove. Anything that was sacrificed was a spiritual signature. You're a calf in the stall if you're not recognizing how we're discussing scripture. So, Chris, you want to bring in your study?
Yeah, well, you know, I was getting to it. I was just setting the stage with my situation when I got woke up out of the church. It was 2 years ago. Right now, when things were really, the Lord was really opening my eyes. And I was going to say that, one of the first things I picked up on was that, you know, for lack of a better term, I'm just going to lump them all into the globalist, elite. But, you know, really the Freemasons, all the secret societies and that have been, orchestrating their move, for centuries. But I picked up on that. And, you know, whatever level of understanding the audience has, you know, just the fact that the dollar bill was an occult symbol on the back, the pyramid and the order out of, Ab Ordo Cao and Novus Ordo Seclorum, the new order of the ages. And you picked up on all that stuff. And I'm amazed now that is really that information that had been kept secret for so long, really thanks to the internet, has come out. Now at the same time, with that information comes so much disinformation, which is what we try to do here, is to help you sort through the lies, the disinformation, encourage you to have that walk with the Lord that Bob is talking about, that we are so tightly locked into Jesus' yoke, that he does protect us from deception, because that's the only hope we have, is to be sold out to Jesus, have complete, total surrender of control of our lives to him. And then, we find out that his sheep aren't deceived, that his sheep hear his voice, and God does protect those, who he accounts worthy to escape these things, to escape the deception that is everywhere. But, as I woke up and I started, realizing that there's this plan, for a one-world government, and that the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill and all that spooky stuff, right along the way there, it was right about 2 years ago, this time of year, I can remember clearly, I had a revelation. The Lord just clearly told me, hello, this is the beast system, Chris, because I'd come up, in the church and had my, taste of Bible prophecy and, having gone through the Hal Lindsey and the Left Behind, nonsense. That was my understanding of end times, even though I knew there was definite holes and all that stuff, but I knew enough, and then that's what got me going, and that's when the Lord really started opening up my eyes, as, I was under persecution, I was kicked out of the church, you know, the scripture says the hail sweeps away the lies. You know, that happened to me. Is the hail is the persecution from the serpents that Bob was just talking about. But whatever, I started really picking up on this Masonic plan for a one-world government. And it's, you know, ultimately going to be controlled from Jerusalem. You know, and we come to find out that, contrary to what mainstream teaching is that Israel, the state of Israel, is in fact a little horn in Scripture.
Right.
And the little horn
right.
is the command center of the Ten Kings, which is the New World Order.
It doesn't get any littler than Israel.
No, it doesn't. We were talking about that today, weren't we, Bill?
That's the big giveaway right there.
That little
horn. Yeah, I've heard that revived Roman Empire is one of the big myths going around. Revived Roman
That it's going to be a literal revived Roman Empire.
Yeah.
Well, don't make no mistake. It is a revived Roman Empire.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's America.
It's not you.
Yeah, it's America's in the heart. You know, after all the years of, well, America's really not in the Bible. Well, that's a bunch of nonsense. America is the center of Bible prophecy at the end times, you know, because this thing, if you followed our pale horse studies over the last few months, you know, we see clearly that after World War II, this world government really got its legs, and it's all still been in stealth, you know, through subversion, through infiltrating the, you know, the institutions, the education system, the media, and they've kept this thing under wraps, but now with the internet and the awareness, and at the same time, you know, and the way that, the biggest way they got away with it was they kept everybody so busy with sports and prosperity.
Right, they kept everybody occupied. The guy on Soul Refuge interviews the devil every once in a while. I remember him. And the devil says, "Oh yeah, I'll keep people occupied all the time." He says, "That's how I deceive them."
Uh huh.
and that's true. Give them a bigger house, a bigger McMansion, more hours to work, a bigger goals in life, or whatever, you know, whatever distraction they can be distracted with.
But you know, we find out now that in spite of all this secrecy, you know, it has exploded, and the awareness out there of people that I can't. It's hard to classify them, but you know, one of the big things that I've really learned, and I'm so aware of it because I've got young children. I've got, you know, teenage girls, and I realized that one of the big accomplishments of this Marxist agenda, which is really one of the three legs of the pale horse. The pale horse is the diverse fourth beast. It's a conglomeration of the first three, you know, which we study in detail in our shows. You know, the workings of the Marxist red horse spirit, you know, the one of the three unclean spirits, is that what they've done, and they've done it through media, through TV, and most importantly from the education systems, where the schools have been transformed from, you know, institutions where the education of the children is like a calisthenics for the mind, that, you know, the idea of the education system was to teach kids how to think and to how to think critically and, you know, to instill critical examination into them. But instead, that whole thing has been replaced by an ideology, you know, of the global agenda, in that you are a part of a hive, you're a part of a group, and, you know, they take away the individuality of you, which is opposite of what the Lord wanted. For, you know, we are all created as individuals in God's image to have a
right.
you know, relationship with the Lord. And, you know, Satan has confounded this. In fact, we see clearly that he's putting back the, you know, they're building a new Tower of Babel. You know, Bill talks about that all the time, about in Genesis, how it says, "Let us make a name for ourselves." Don't you see that, Bill?
Yeah, that's because they don't have they've been taught a false Jesus for so long that they have no security in Jesus Christ.
No, they don't. That's it. You're right.
They have an empty. They have an empty Jesus, maybe like the plastic Jesus that used to be on your dashboards.
A cistern that holds no water.
Yeah, a cistern that holds no water. So, in order to replace that emptiness, that broken cistern,
a broken cistern.
Yeah, they're looking to make a name for themselves, lest we be scattered. You know, they are trying to protect themselves in the flesh.
Yeah.
Protect you. You've got to have insurance against flooding. You've got to have insurance against a tree fall on your house. You've got to have car insurance. You've got to have insurance against World War III. You've got to have life insurance. You've got to have death insurance. You've got to have college funds saved away. So they want security in everything except for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it's all vanity.
But as I saw this thing unfolding, and I started realizing how the Masons were all about one thing, and that's about controlling the Middle East, and ultimately to get their to rebuild their temple on the Mount in Jerusalem, and you know this is all happening before our eyes right now as we see this unrest in the Middle East. It's clearly they have made their move. And, you know, they're making their move for the final chaos, which is a huge part of the plan, in that they're going to collapse society in a planned chaos, which is all part of the Freemasonic New Age teaching. You got to understand that this philosophy behind this, it's ultimately Gnosticism. They're big into the Kabbalah. And, you know, what it all gets down to is that people will become their own gods. You know, they'll be enlightened with the new age of enlightenment. And, you know, all it's coming from all angles, whether you're George Bush, you know, Freemasonic skull and bones, or you're Oprah Winfrey, or you're Madame
Blavatsky. Right, it's coming from all angles, right.
It's all the same, you know, Hitler, you know, Adolf Hitler had Helena Blavatsky's book on his nightstand. You know, they've all been into the same thing. And it's an elite master race, and that are enlightened, ruling over the dumbed down masses. And this is the end game. But we're seeing this thing unfolding now. Is this contrived unrest in the Middle East is part of the plan to secure control of the entire Middle East? You know, as Israel, because Israel, as far as they're concerned, is a lot bigger than the land mass that they occupy today. And we're seeing this now as they're toppling these dictators that have been part of the scheme. You know, they put these guys all in place over oil and the deals that they made in the 70s, you know, with Kissinger and Bush Sr. and setting up, you know, the collapse of the, you know, beginning the collapse of the industry in the United States. That was all contrived and planned, sent to China. And at the same time, they built up these Arab countries, and we made a deal with them that we would put in the infrastructure so they could pump the oil. In turn, they would have to reinvest the money in T-bills, in treasury notes here in the United States. And this is 30 years, and there's something going on now where the T-bills are were matured in 30 years and all this stuff. But at the same time, you know, the United States is bankrupt. And for the last, you know, how long, 6 months or so, at least, I'm not going to say exactly, but we've, you know, the United States has been monetizing its own debt.
Oh, yeah,
this was the thing. When this started happening, we knew that it was the beginning of the end. And this is taking place where the Federal Reserve is buying back its own debt. And I think just last week, the United States is now the biggest holder of our own debt. You know, we bought more debt back than China holds, and this can't continue. You know, there's just no future in this. So,
well, now, audience, that's a view of your world in a picture. Is that all these different factions are now showing their stripes?
Yeah.
And all these tears are turning black.
Right, they have black do they have to turn before they
that's a good analogy, Bob.
Now here's what the Lord says in Psalms 106, starting at verse 35. But we're mingled among the heathen and learn their works, and they serve their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrifice their sons and daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed with the idols of Canaan. And the lamb was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch as he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Now, audience, the mingling that we're experiencing in the flesh, these events that are causing people to fear, people to hate, these are brought on by the vessels of wrath for the Lord's purpose. Bill?
Yeah, as Brother Chris said, America's all over the Bible and prophecy, and that's what you were just reading there.
Yes. This is you, audience. This is your where you're at in the world, no matter what nation you're in.
Right, that's true.
Whether you're in your corner church or you're sitting next to the apostate pope, you are seeing these snares are set for the true remnant of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say we pray not to be deceived, there's a lot to be deceived about. There's every movement that you could possibly see. And we talk a lot about the movements in the churches from our past shows, and I encourage any new listeners to go way back to the original shows that we went through the large church movements, but we, through our studies, have found that it's your corner church, too.
And the internet church.
The internet is, they're all a snare. And this preeminence of Israel, fleshly Israel, being propagated is of the spirit of Edom. And it takes away the inheritance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave it to his people through his sacrifice on the cross, through his works, his finished works at the cross. And we're told that these things are going to happen to you. You're going to be with the heathens. And then if you search that out, audience, you're going to find out that there's a temple of the Lord, and that's you. And if you're not cleaned out in terms of your salvation, that you are to do the will of the Father, to clean your vessel out of sin, you're not going to recognize this. You're going to be with this group and that group, doing what the Lord told you not to do, not to be ensnared. Chris? I'm sorry, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, and I was just going to comment that the reason that we're mixed in with all that is Jesus said we need to be sanctified with the truth. He said that in the Garden of Gethsemane, take them not out of the world. I pray that he take them not out of the world. Because the world is deception, and like Brother Chris has pointed out so many times, deception is the tool that God uses to separate his people. That's a very, very accurate assessment that Brother Chris has developed there. I mean, the Holy Spirit showed him that. And I never, didn't really focus on that fully until he mentioned it, just in the last few weeks. But that is the tool that the Lord uses is deception to separate his people. And he prays that you take them not out of the world. So that kind of kills your rapture right there. If anybody's still in the rapture, the lost cavern of the rapture cult, Jesus doesn't want you taken out of the world.
If you're in the pre-tribulation rapture or dispensationalist teachings, audience, you are in error through the scriptures.
Serious error.
Peril. And you need to study yourself approved to prove to yourself that this is false. You need to study yourself approved. You need to be the lively stone that stands back and says, well, are these guys telling me that everything I learned in my church, and I'm just catching their broadcast, I don't know who they are, but they're telling me that my church is lying to me. It would actually lead me into idol worship. And when the call was made for all of our Lord Jesus Christ people, the remnant of Israel in the spirit, to come out of her, the harlot church, my people, and come unto me, I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
That's what we're telling you, audience. You didn't hear.
I'd be willing to say that you could take 100 people that have never read the Bible, and they were totally neutral, they had no religious belief, You put them in a room for 10 days, those 100 people separately, and let them read the Bible. And then you interviewed them. Not one of them would come up with the idea that they were going to be raptured.
It is of the devil.
It's just, it's right. It's a contrivance and that they've stuck in people that have itching ears.
Of course, for the Lord's purpose.
This is for the Lord's purpose, yes.
This is your earthquake audience.
Let's see if you're going to be deceived or not.
This is your nuclear bomb going off.
This is the nuclear bomb going off, yes.
Where you're being told the truth and everything that you ever thought was a lie. It was false idol worship. That you were a calf in the stall under this false idol worship, one of the many false Christs that's leading you to hell. And you didn't study yourself approved and look at the material that he was coming from corporate instead of looking at your gospel and learning the truth. And that he or she or it or whatever was leading this congregation you were in is in serious error. And it's not in the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are a stone that is overturned. They are a temple that will be destroyed. Bill?
Yes. Every stone is going to be overturned, as it says, you know, that Jesus pointed the stones out to them in Matthew 24. And yeah, that's the real atomic bomb. You're right. And, of course, you know, everybody, the Alex Jones shows and the whatever, I don't know. There's so many of the fear shows out there, you can't keep track of them. It's all a big business now. And they're bringing Christianity into it to make it a bigger business. End times prophecy makes a bigger business. And, the real atomic bomb is that when the truth comes in, it hits you.
It shakes you.
Go ahead, Bob.
Just shaking you to your core, audience. That you could have been in absolute death sentence just because you listened to somebody else and didn't study yourself approved. Didn't seek the Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't take the time to forgive everybody. That sister, that brother, that neighbor, that man, that woman, that child, forgive them, for they know not what they do, is what our Lord told us to do. And what did they say? Well, let the blood be upon us. We don't care. We got everything we want. He's dead. I get to go back to my mansion and eat my steak and do this and do that, and then, you know, they die. And in pre-tribulation rapture, you know, they're taken up into heaven in the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not endure this doctrine, if you don't abide by the gospel, if you are not in the truth, and you don't understand this, you're not going to be prepared for the pre-tribulation rapture. They're going to be telling you, well, it's this event, it's that event, and it's not going to happen. And the tribulation will come upon you like a thief in the night. And your mind will be driven to madness. Chris?
Yeah, that's right. It's the wine of the false doctrine drives the nations mad. It says that in Jeremiah 51, I think. 50 or 51. You know, during the destruction of Babylon. This is what we're seeing today. You know, they're insane out there. But the thing is, when we're talking before, I mean, the attitude that we're called to have is, you know, like Paul had, that to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, and in Colossians it says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And, you know, Bill mentioned the Alex Jones, camp. And basically the whole alternative media on the internet has been, corrupted. As these, we see it time and time again. You know, once solid teachers fall for the system, they get caught up in the trap, and they take the bait. They take the deal. You know, we've got a show a while back, No Deal. You know, we talk about taking the deal, and you take these you know, the position that, it's given you, and you know, you fall for the trappings of whatever success, merchandising, you know, getting more listeners, building, you know, climbing back into heaven. We talk about all that stuff, but the bottom line is, you know, we're called to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And in 1 Peter, it says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." And that's speaking about, you know, the grass is talking about the things that we hold to that are fleshly, that are worldly, you know, anything of the world that we love. And this is the common problem still, no matter what you come across out there. Very few ministries, if you call them that, or, you know, radio talk shows, what have you.
They don't even address these issues.
Point you toward the Spirit. No, they don't. No. They're all flesh. It's all take America back for God. You know, we're gonna beat these globalists, you know. And it's just all nonsense, because you're not. Because this is all coming from morons that don't read their Bible, really,
is right.
What it is.
Right. They have no... They're blind in one eye and see a little bit out of the other.
Instead of buying the Bible, they bought the DVDs. They bought the books. They listened to the radio.
Yeah.
Audience, if you seriously are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and all your mind, what we're discussing tonight on one level is matters of the flesh that are manifesting. But it is in your own salvation. It is your mano a mano with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told you not to sin. And if you look at sin and look at the root word every time it's used in the Bible, it's basically to be guilty by implication, to be punished or perish. Certainly to be desolate, certainly to be destroyed, greatly be confounded, hold, guilty, offend, acknowledge, offense, trespass. So if you're sinning in your mind, you're trespassing against the Lord's salvation to you. And these people have propagated that sin is good. And we're telling you that everything you look around, people think evil for good in this generation.
They sure do.
And there's a plumb line drawn up by the Lord that tells you that's their side. Let them stay on it. I'll handle them. You stay on this side. You do my will. Now, what that will is of the Father for his purpose, and he knows every hair on your head. And when you're told by these preachers about this economic collapse and the, you know, there's conspiracies here and conspiracies there, there's no conspiracy with you, audience. You stand in the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ to do his will. There is no conspiracy there because it's the truth. And you were told this was going to happen. And you need to decide for yourself. You know, if you've been listening to these false preachers, we define them as serpents. That analogy fits. We also have money changers and merchants that take your money and they store up great wealth. They take your tax money, they take your donations. They don't feed the poor. There's 42, 45 million people in the United States on welfare. They don't create jobs for them. They don't do your infrastructure. But they do build your tanks. Bill?
That's right. They build your tanks. I heard the police is even, I was reading an article, the police force wants tanks at some place in, I forget, maybe California, but. Yeah, they build your thing. Yeah.
You know, that Wisconsin thing is good to look at, audience.
Yeah, I think it's a small mustard seed.
Yeah, you're right. It is a mustard seed. It's going to grow into a tree.
And
because, you know, this is all this chaos is just spreading. There's the chaos in the Middle East.
It's just domino. You know, you said it was on the money, Chris, that they put it right in plain sight on the money, didn't they? Out of order.
The pyramid on the back of your dollar bill, folks,
Now they have
completed.
That's been in plain sight for how many years? 60, 70 years? Since,
yeah,
I guess since the 30s?
It was Roosevelt's Secretary of Agriculture.
So they put dead presidents on the faces of them so you can be involved in ancestral worship there to make it look legitimate. Then they put In God We Trust on there, and I don't know what God they're talking, the God of Forces, I guess. But you know what I find interesting about that money, or whatever you want to call that stuff, it is the global currency. And, you know, if you go to other countries, here in Canada we have blue money and green money, and I mean blue money and red $50 bills, and I've seen Switzerland money is all different colors. But it's very codified in the U.S. dollar. That's the greenback. It's been called that. There's your pale horse. There's your identifier of the world currency, the pale horse. You know, everybody in the world wanted greenbacks, you know. It's basically most countries don't have green money. And I think it was codified right into the money there. With all the Masonic symbols, too, you know.
So on one level, we're going through the renderings of what's going on in the world through Scripture, and we're telling you it's all mingled with the heathen. So you individually, audience, have to take this information and say, you know, am I mingled with the heathen? And what we're telling you next, audience, is that you have to separate from there. And this is the scriptural separation. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 17, chapter 3, verse 17. Any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Zephaniah 2, chapter 2, verse 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the in of the Lord's anger. Now, audience, looking at these scriptures and telling you on one flesh level that you have a lot of chaos going on, and it may have been man might have created that, Chris, right? That could be
their
whole deal. That's their whole, they want to consolidate the power. There's been speculation that, you know, they want to, Georgia Guidestones say they got to reduce the population. Bill, we could say Solomon's sorceries, pharmakia.
Yeah.
Pale horse, all pale horse stuff that we've shown
right.
In our shows, audience. Now we're coming to you and saying, okay, it's getting a little faster now. And we've had not one state capital, but two under duress, because the system has stolen their money. And like I think
so they're going after them like Bernie Madoff. You know, they're all going to be Bernie Madoffs out there.
Yes. Now this is discouraging on one level, because you have to live in this. You are not to be conformed to this world. These things may be going on, but you need to seek your salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us through the mystery of this gospel. And when the pre-tribulation rapture people are telling you, wait for the hell and brimstone, wait for the earthquakes in diverse places, wait for the peace treaty, wait for this, wait for that.
Right.
Well, your temple is defiled.
Yeah, you're just drinking up more and hoping, you know, wishing for more abundance tomorrow.
And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Well, audience, that's you could defile yourself. That is what the Lord is saying. You can defile yourself. And I'm telling you, don't be deceived by all of these. Study your gospel and find out the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will teach you this.
What we're going to see as this thing starts really getting legs now, as this chaos spreads, you know, this is the plan. The plan is to collapse society. you know, on a global level. And how far it reaches, we're not sure, but we certainly see this thing really centered in America, because America was basically designed to collapse. The collapse of the United States has been planned for a long time. We'll go back to 1776 at the forming of the Illuminati. No coincidence. I mean, coincidentally, at the same time that the Declaration of Independence. But you know, they call the America the Phoenix. That the New World Order will, you know, rise out of the ashes of the collapse of the United States. And this thing is happening. This thing is going down, and it's all scripture, because on one layer, on a physical layer, we can liken America to the revived Roman Empire, or essentially Babylon, in that you know, the people have forsaken their first love and have gone after false gods, idolatry, and this is the sin of Babylon, and this is the sin that God is about to pass judgment upon. And, you know, judgment begins in the house of God. You know, and they make no mistake that this judgment is coming upon the apostate church. Because tonight we've got a study, you know, one of the mini studies that we've been doing lately on the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. And we see that clearly in the end times, the church, the corporate structure, goes bad. And this is what we're calling you to, folks, as this collapse continues. How bad is it going to get? We don't know. Probably pretty bad. And it's going to be a matter of, but the solutions are not in the flesh. It's not, you know, going to be a matter of, you know, who's got the best bomb shelter or whatever. You know,
right,
we're
that's
called,
not going to get it right.
No, we're called to, you know, put our affections on things above. And we see that God's people, which are not the entire church, you know, God came, Jesus is coming for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not for the whole house of Israel, because the whole house of Israel doesn't make it, but you know, a portion of the church makes it, and that's what we see. The wheat and the tares are all in the church, and the wheat and the tares are coming, you know, are full grown, and the wheat is ready to be harvested, and the tares have turned black, and God is separating out the wheat from the tares.
I think that was Genesis chapter 32, and I could be wrong. I hadn't studied it real closely, but I think that's when Jacob finally realized the tares were black. Being Esau being the tare. I think he finally realized that in Genesis chapter 32, something in there, verse 6 or something in there.
Yeah, see, this is where I was headed with that, Bill, is that Jacob, we're heading for Jacob's trouble.
Yeah, we're headed for Jacob's trouble. Right, that's what
Jacob is, symbol of the multitude in the church. And right now, we're calling you out of the church. When you come out of the church willingly, it's a whole lot more pleasant of an experience of a future than if you remain in the harlot system, because it also says that God will put a hook in thy jaw. And he's going to put a hook in his people's jaw, the ones that come out or not. But he's going to get you. But the ones that come willingly now repent, you know, to cast down your false gods, your golden calves, and you know, and set your affection on things above, because it says in, you know, what I just said, the hook in the jaw. Well, in Revelation chapter 8, it says, you know, a third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. I mean, God is going to strip the fleshly idols that we are holding to. This is what the tribulation is about. God is going to strip the idols from his people. And, you know, it's going to be a matter of trusting in the living God and him alone. And this is where we are today. And this is what we're calling it to. Because all these false, you know, if you're trusting in the American flag, or you're trusting in Sarah Palin, or you're trusting in, you know, the Christian right winning. You know,
or a peace treaty.
But wait. I'm trusting in Fox News.
Or the Fox Follies with the Beck clown.
Now, if propaganda, Bill, you're very familiar with this, Goebbels propaganda in Nazi Germany. The propaganda now, audience, is so refined.
It was play stuff back then.
It was your child playing with Play-Doh. You know,
yes. Yeah.
Now they're building spaceships with this. Okay, this is been big money financed institutes that were created to manipulate as much of the human mind into a let's call it a mutation, in terms of your peripheral ability to observe, and in this systematic way of inundating you with every possible form of stimulation, and most of it by a sinful nature, so to speak, sneaking up on the censors, Bill, back in the 50s and 60s, would they allow anything on TV like they have now?
No. In fact, Hollywood actually had their own censory. There wasn't any censory laws back then. They just kind of, it was done by their own selves. That tells you, you know, I'm not saying people were perfect back then. You know, man has always been evil. But, the people had some kind of form of righteousness or some kind of form of modesty and decency. And they had their own, I don't like using this word, but I'll use it for conversation. They had their own set of ethics in Hollywood. And now, you know, anything goes now.
And an audience, they would censor all of your viewing back in the 50s and 60s and probably head out to the brothel. Okay, 'cause they were manipulating their perceived values on what the country wanted, and yet corrupting their own. And as their corruption was mingled, they started saying, well, we don't have to censor that. Let's skip. Or they had somebody come in that wasn't a of the Lord, that had true godly ethics and true godly feelings to protect the children from all these vile, evil things. Now, we're also told in Revelation 17:5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. Now, there's many renderings of this that are so false and off the wall that it's completely unattainable. It's been overturned. Proper rendering of this is Babylon is the church audience on one level of scripture.
On the highest level. You can call other things America's Babylon in many ways, but the very top level, that's the church. That's what it's being spoken of there.
So who else is going to read the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? People that seek our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're roadblocked. They blew up the bridges so you can't get over to this side. You can't cross the water. Are those analogies and metaphors coming to mind, audience? Because even if you've been under a false prophet, you have studied yourself to a point where you need to have the Holy Spirit teach you these things. The harlot, spoken of this, is the serpents and the scorpions, the tares. And we're told in your church, if you're still in church, 2/3 of the people sitting in your congregation are serpents and scorpions. And 1/3 is the multitude of people that are being hemmed in and kept from the truth and their salvation. And currently, the biggest propagation of this is this Israeli primacy of flesh. And it can be disputed with Nicodemus. As our Lord tried to explain to him in truth that you will not see this unless you're born of the Spirit. You need to be reborn as a new vessel, as a new creature in our Lord Jesus Christ. Unblemished. Pure, with a pure heart.
Yeah, you know, it's just been such a heartbreaker to me that what you're talking about, Bob, and that, you know, the Lord has never stopped moving and has always drawn people to himself. And people do come to the point where they know the gospel and they know the need for they need to repent and receive the Lord and receive the Holy Spirit and be born again. But what's happened then is these people go back into these harlot religious systems where they're torn down, by this by the false doctrine, and they're led back, into the fallen state that we have today. And this is where this whole thing's run its course, where now the church is completely leavened, And the church that was once the fruitful field is now counted as the forest. And this means that, you know, the church goes bad. And this is where we are today, folks. And it's a very, very, very dangerous time, especially with where I'm heading now with what we're talking about with this new world order. Because it's showtime, folks. This thing's going down. These guys have made their move. They've been planning this thing for a long time. And they're making a move. And what they've done is they fomented hatred between the Muslims and the Christians. And ultimately the Jews, between the Muslims and the Jews. And with the idea that the Jews were so outnumbered, how are they going to deal with that? They got the Christians on board. So now we've got this. The false religion of the day is Judeo-Christianity. Judeo-Christianity. I mean, that's a complete oxymoron. It has absolutely nothing to do with Scripture in that. But this is the modern religion of the day. This is the modern apostate false religion of the day. And
it's a secret friendly thing.
Yeah, yeah. Can't we all be one? Can't we all get along?
A form of universalism.
But what we're going to see is, as this thing continues, this hatred that we're seeing fomented in the Middle East is going to make its way over here. It's going to be global. The Muslims occupy; they're accounted for 1/4 of the population,
right.
And they're going to the Christians and the Muslims are going to go to war. And we, with all
and
the
both
speculation,
sides,
of that,
both sides have been led to believe that they have a good guy.
That they're the good guy. Yeah, exactly.
Or they're following the good guy.
When in fact neither of them are. And what Satan's going to do, he's going to have the two sides, the two factions of evil, take each other out. But the outcome, now exactly how is this going to work out, I don't know. But I do know that this hatred has been fomented and that it is, it's open for business. And as this thing spreads, and if we're studying Scripture, And we see where we are in the pale horse, whose rider is death and hell. We're right at the time when the church is martyred, when the believers for Jesus Christ are martyred, and we see this thing happening in stages. But we see massive death. We see massive bloodshed.
I can't say that, Chris. I am not seeing that at all.
Yeah.
I am seeing spiritual death on a wholesale level that has never been seen in the history of the earth.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
And I am told through the scriptures that no sign will be given to this generation. So these men may be propagating their power moves and that, but they're vessels of wrath. And spiritually, there is no doubt in anyone here's mind that the church is in the apostate state of the strong delusion and the great falling away. Now we're told next, what are these abominations of the earth? Now all this thing in the flesh is going on, and it could be nukes, it could be this, it could be that. What are you going to do, audience? Because today is your salvation, knowing all these things. We come here telling you the truth of Scripture. The abominations are the sins in your life. That's it. There's not a... Is that the wrong rendering of Scripture, Bill?
No.
Chris?
No. It's a...
We can look at this as a spiritual layer and a physical layer. But I am... there's clearly, the souls of those slain for their testimony in Jesus Christ under the altar right after the pale horse. And, I see it, Bob. I mean, I see it clearly as a reality. I don't see that as metaphoric at all. And, I see that this is going to happen in phases, in that there'll be those who lose their lives for the testimony of Jesus Christ physically. And, it's already begun. It's been happening. There's been more people martyred in the 20th century than all of history. This is all going down. But whatever. Okay. And yes, this is very it's speculative. Other than, we do see what's taking place. The ultimate warning that I'm trying to get at, and I sure appreciate Bob not wanting to become another fearmonger, because you know, the Lord knows there sure are plenty of them out there. But the reality of it is there is a coming chaos. How it manifests, well, we'll see. We'll let you know. We'll be right there with you, folks, you know, hopefully, as long as the Internet holds out. But the thing is this is the big deception, in that our hope is in the Spirit, and our hope is in the Lord. And the Lord's kingdom is not of this world. And that we are trusting in the green grass, it's going to be stripped away from God's remnant believers. But those who are caught in the deception, that after the chaos, the purpose of the chaos, it's order out of chaos, in that the global elite are going to create the new world order out of the chaos, with the mentality that people will have no choice but to go along with it. Because
they kind of did this in World War II in a mini version, a smaller version of it. That's what happened.
That's exactly right.
Audience, if we were in the time of the recapitulation of World War II, I would say this is the Battle of the Bulge. I would say this is the Normandy invasion. I would say that we, as a group, are looking at this and seeing the manifestations of fleshly man doing their sinful nature things, and say, audience, please, say your prayers tonight, hit your pray bones, your prayer bones, and pray to our Lord Jesus Christ that you be not deceived.
Amen.
That you make covenant with our Lord to do His will, that you repent of your sins. These are things as a separation that you need to do to get through this invasion. And we cannot tell you that there's not going to be this and that in the flesh happen. It's manifesting faster than we can get any just news, and we can't get the truth out of the news, can we, gentlemen?
No. You know, it's the root core of this still is flatteries in my mind. You know, flatteries leads to man's own folly. It leads to his own desires, you know. And a man's folly, his own folly is what ruins his life. And then his heart will rage against the Lord. Or it's going to turn back to the Lord.
And it's go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, however the chaos plays out, make no mistake, this is the plan. And out of the chaos, out of the ashes, will rise the new world order.
And it's nothing new, neither is it, Chris. This is like same stuff that was written thousands of years ago.
But this is the end one. This is the end game.
No, this is the end one, right. But I'm saying they've been using this same thing over and over and over.
Yeah, so this is the final recapitulation.
The world was just smaller.
This is the final Antichrist kingdom. And see, this is where the real deception is going to come. Because whatever manifests out of this Islamic Antichrist, which is basically the predominant belief in the corporate harlot apostate religious system, in other words, mainstream Christianity, believes that the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim. And it's going to all play out where the Muslims are defeated. And whatever this Muslim Antichrist is, the Christians will say, oh, we're not going to fall for that one. And they won't. And whatever plays out, but the real evil, then this is when the real evil comes in. Is out of the New World Order is going to be about the one world religion. And it's going to be, sure, come on, Christianity, you can come along. Bring your Jesus with you. Just don't bring that offensive one. And when we have remnant believers that do survive this tribulation, because there are believers at the end of the tribulation that are not whatever plays out as far as you know, the price they pay for the testimony of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a whole nother, the big deception at the end of this, when this New World Order rises to power and is controlled from Jerusalem, and it's going to be under the Noahide system, in that this will be when the real Antichrist morphed Judeo-Christian religion, you know, comes into being. You know, wherever, you know, with the Catholic Church sitting right in the middle of it, you know, whatever sect of Muslims survive out of this chaos, you know, they'll be in there, you know, all on the Temple Mount, and it's just going to be peace and safety, and, you know, the mass, this is the way it's going to be, the masses of deceived Christians are going to be.
And I think what they're going to do, what I've seen for a long time coming, is how they're going to meld this Christianity. You know, they're melding Christianity in together with itself now, and I see that coming. What you're saying, and I believe that what they have done, they've been trying to do this. What we saw it in Strong's writings, in the ASV Bible in 1901, is you can have Jesus, but he's not God. Yeah. They're going to destroy the deity of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And those that hang on to the deity of Jesus Christ, and hang on to the truth in Jesus Christ, that's going to be your remnant.
Yeah.
Those are going to be the ones that are the enemies of the system.
Yep.
And that's how I'm starting to see it.
And the thing is that the Christians who have been conned into the notion that they must support the state of Israel are in fact destroyers of thine heritage, in that they are surrendering their heritage, giving up their birthright, and they're giving it back to Esau. And this is the exact crime that Esau committed when he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. And this is what
we saw a major movement this week out of the Pope from that, didn't we?
Absolutely.
I think it was this week where he said that they weren't responsible for. How would the Pope say that the Jews really weren't responsible for Jesus' crucifixion?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was this week he said that. And that's a rough paraphrase, but
all through our
now, obviously, we know Jewish people today. We're not talking about Jewish people, but he was talking about the Jewish people, 2,000 years ago at the time of the Christ, that they weren't Messiahs, that they weren't really responsible.
Changing scripture.
My Bible says that they said, let the blood be on our hands.
Yeah, that's right. But Christians have to know that they are Israel. And when you read Scripture and you read Israel, you need to realize that that's talking about you. And then when you find Israel, you find out that all of Israel is not Israel. And this is Paul teaching us that there's the main body of the church of Israel, of the woman, all metaphors for the same thing. And in that big structure is a smaller structure. Scripture refers to it as the residue, the remnant. And this is the true body of believers that you always see in Scripture. In every setting, you see the big religious system, and then you see God's remnant in this system. And, we're calling you to find your place in that, folks.
If you're in Jesus Christ, if you're following the Lamb wherever he goeth, hey, you're not them. You're not them as to refer to in Scripture. In Luke 21:23, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and the wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive unto all the nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Them, audience, it's not you. If you are in our Lord Jesus Christ, and you've made covenant, and you've repented of your sins, and you studied yourself approved, and you are mano a mano, the temple of our Lord Jesus Christ to do his will, you are not them. Them that are out there,
yeah, them are the other people.
You are on the other side of the plumb line.
Right.
And it's very basic, audience. Sin, no sin. Forgiveness, no forgiveness. It doesn't get an easier rendering than that for you to understand this.
Maybe you could give a little definition, too, or understanding of repentance, Bob, because that's been twisted so much in the church also.
The repentance audience that was preached through this gospel is our Lord Jesus Christ telling his people. He came to the house of the lost sheep of Israel. So he's telling those people that have a good heart, that are of his father's business, but they have been led by the serpents and scorpions to see a different view of the word, of him. The other side of the plumb line that's unrepentant do not see the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. They see Jewish fables. They see fleshly understanding. They see wealth. And our Lord told us to turn your mind, turn around, take a step back, look, and I will give you rest to see these fleshly things, but it is you who abide in me, who repent, who stop. The easiest repentance rendering is the prostitute. Sin no more and go. Stop sinning.
Right, stop sinning.
And you will see these things for what they are. All the work that has been done through our due diligence in the world, fleshly, we have a pretty good understanding. These are some evil characters coming to do whatever they want with you. And that these movements that are being propagated, you are to separate from. You are to come to our Lord Jesus Christ. Come out of her, the harlot, Babylon. Don't be influenced by your false preachers, ravenous wolves, merchandisers. Come unto me, and I will show you these things so you can do my will in this world. An audience, it's a sobering thing when you find this out, because in the flesh it's like, oh man, this is bad as bad can be. In the spirit, this is, I see, it's your true judgment, Lord. And I'm here to do thy will. And I've cleaned my vessel and done the best I can, help me. And who better to help you, O Lord, than your Lord Jesus Christ? Bill?
Amen, yes. You know, he sets the example for us in all things in Scripture. If we're not sure about something or we have questions in our heart maybe about the way we're living our life, you know, these answers are all in Scripture, and the Holy Spirit will come in and prick your heart and show you, you know, where in the Bible to seek this out. You know, the Lord was an example in his walk for us. We want to walk like he walked. He's the greatest example that was, you know, that's ever been brought into the world to walk like, pick up our cross and do the will of the Father like he did. Now, obviously, we're not Jesus, and obviously, we're going to fall short, but, you know, we do the best that we can do, and when we do fall short, you know, we seek the Father in prayer and ask for their forgiveness, is because we forgive our transgressors as well. And the Father will forgive us. And he will strengthen our hearts and strengthen our walk. And I think people go everywhere to look for answers today except for the Bible. They go down to the community center, they'll go to a psychiatrist, they'll go to this council, the council of this, this community, this codependency group, and where the answer to all things is in your Holy Scriptures.
A good analogy.
There's nothing in there that is not an answer to. There's not a problem that there's not an answer for in that book.
Audience, you are bringing a knife to a gunfight if you're not in the truth of the Scripture. If you're not reading your Bible, you're going to the OK Corral empty-handed. Your holster has to have the Word of God in it. You have to have the basics. And when we say basics, it's the milk of Scripture. But I've witnessed someone 6 months ago that was went from milk to preaching meat.
Yep.
And it's remarkable, because then we're taught that I consider myself almost a box of rocks. Now, how am I preaching this gospel? Well, I have to work hard at this. I'm not a natural. I'm doing the will of my Father the best I can. But it's on the other side what's revealed to me from others that are in the truth teaching. You will find Truth in Scripture this week, truthinscripture.com. It's a study on the trumpets. And it's a multimedia study. An audience, it's in the truth. It's a very easy way to break down scripture upon scripture. But nonetheless, you need to study the scripture yourself to make sure that he's right.
That's right.
And you will find that it's very easy when you know the scripture. And you're not under these false prophets. And you're just reading your Bible or your Eastward, or you're listening to the Bible online, you're listening to the King James Version Bible, 7 times true. If you don't like the Bible deal, get over it. That's the truth. That's the truth we're preaching. Chris.
Yeah, is it all right if I jump into this parable study?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I put a study together. This has been on my heart for a while, this whole thing. And, you know, you two guys have just done incredible work in this area with the, you know, when we all met on that forum, you know, last year, you know, these two guys
mm-hmm.
went up against the serpents and scorpions themselves, you know, with this false rendering of Scripture. And, you know, it's always been there. And now that I see how basic and foundational it is, you know, the Lord just drew me back into it, and it's been for a few weeks. And I just, over the weekend now, I was able to put it together, and I sent it out in a big emailing. I used to do these mass emailings all the time, and, you know, they'd always fall on deaf ears. And now I've learned to just make them count. And I just put together a study here that I was going to share tonight. And, you know, it's from my heart, and it's just what the Lord showed me. And it's in, you know, Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, it says, "Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." And that's just a foundational parable that we've heard, you know, since we were kids. And the Wesley Study Bible commentary says, that 31 says, "He proposed to them another gospel. The former parables related chiefly to unfruitful fruits. These that follow, to those who bear good fruit, the kingdom of heaven, both the gospel dispensation and the inward kingdom. And the least, that is, one of the least, a way of speaking extremely common among Jews, it becomes a tree. In those countries, it grows exceedingly large and high, so will the Christian doctrine spread in the world and the life of Christ in the soul."
Well, first of all, he's wrong there because it doesn't grow into a tree. There's no horticultural mustard seed that will grow into a tree where it could even lodge branches.
It's a bush.
It's a shrub.
It's a shrub.
And if a big fowl came in it, it would bend it over and pull it down to the ground. So, you know, that's the first mistake right there. I find this very interesting. This is already back in the 1700s. This kind of mindset is already setting you up for the rapture doctrine.
Well, that's exactly already, right.
100 years before the rapture doctrine, which, by the way, was started 100 years before this guy by that, I believe his name was Ribera out of the Catholic Church. And, yeah, they were setting this rapture doctrine stuff up about 100 to 200 years before they actually introduced it. And that's where this is going.
Yeah.
Continue on, Chris.
In Matthew 13:33, "Another parable spake unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." And Wesley continues with verse 33. "Three measures, this was the quantity which they usually baked at once, till the whole was leavened. Thus will the gospel leaven the world and grace the Christian." John Wesley's commentary.
What Bible was he reading? Is that amazing?
Schofield.
I mean, Schofield didn't come for another 100 years yet.
Yeah, it was the King James Bible. It was, you know.
I know that. And this guy was supposed to be a great Bible scholar. I mean, all through the Bible, it says the exact opposite of what he states there.
Opposite.
John Wesley's commentary. John Wesley's commentary on the whole Bible was produced between 1754 and 1765. Wesley's account of the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven is the dominant rendering accepted by modern Christianity.
Oh, it absolutely is. I've went in and read, I'll read 100 of them, and about 90 of them, that's what they say.
This is gross error. This is not what these verses are teaching. Modern evangelical Christianity is built on this foundational, fundamental error. The tree, in verse 31 and 32, is the tree from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Daniel chapter 4, verse 10. Thus were the visions of mine, head in my bed, and I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof in the end of all the earth. And the leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all the beasts of the field, had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. The tree is Babylon.
Absolutely.
Revelation 18, verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now this false rendering of Scripture is ironically the perfect example of what the verse is actually teaching. A small mustard seed of false doctrine turns into a tree where the fowls of the air nest in its branches. The beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, are the serpents and scorpions that represent the two-third apostate, the tares, in the church. Matthew 13:31 and 32 is an account of the end-time church that allowed false doctrine to enter. It goes unpurged and becomes Mystery Babylon, the harlot, the habitation of devils, every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Jeremiah 50 and 51 account for the fate of the end-time apostate church, Mystery Babylon the harlot. Jeremiah 50, verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountain. They have gone from the mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyer of mine heritage. This is what we were talking about earlier, erroneous doctrine in the church is that they have destroyed their heritage. They've given their heritage back to a fleshly land and a fleshly group of people in the Middle East. This is an abomination. Right. This is the abomination. Because ye are grown fat as the heifer at grass and bellow as bulls. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Every one that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at her plagues. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go every one unto his own country, for her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. I mean, that's just an excerpt from Jeremiah 50 and 51, which is, in fact, the account of Mystery Babylon and what's going to happen to the apostate church. Is God's judgment is coming upon the church. Go ahead, Bill.
I just wanted to comment. The reason that they can't see this is because they are the woman, and they're the leavened loaf.
I know,
the parable,
that's right.
The parable itself explains why they can't see it.
Yes.
And also, audience, Jeremiah...
If you're only on the outside, are you going to be able to see that?
Jeremiah 15:3, and Bill is correct. On the outside, up in the mountain, spiritually, you're up in the mountain looking down on this. And what Chris just went through is the proper rendering of that scripture, and you've been given 90% of the time the apostate teaching. And this is what the Lord is saying in Jeremiah 15:3 to this generation. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beast of the earth to devour and destroy. And spiritually, audience, your serpents and scorpions that lie in wait for you are destroying you in the spirit by leading you into idol worship, leading you away from the Lamb wherever he goeth, leading in to false doctrine, and these people are represented as drunken, as they're drunk on wine.
Ephraim is drunk, yeah. They're mad. They're mad on this wine. It's driven them mad.
And that madness is manifesting itself on your TV screens over in Egypt. These people are hating each other. They hate everything. We were told, you know, forgive everything. They know not what they do. Applies to everyone. Bill?
Well, I'm just saying, that's, you know, this is where the devil gets his energy. This is what just, you know, this
right.
is where he gets all of his excitement and his...
he gets his energy in the hyphen. The Judeo-Christianity.
Yep. He's pulling a lot of energy out of Egypt right now. It's like putting electricity into Frankenstein, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And he's powered up, baby.
And there's 4 billion people that are professing themselves to know our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's true.
He doesn't know. Doesn't matter if they think
that's
they
right.
know.
Doesn't matter. He never turned anybody away because he says, you didn't know me. He never said that in Scripture. He says, I never knew you, or I know not whence you are.
Whence you came, whence you are. Yeah, right. Where you were positioned.
Yeah.
Where you were positioned. And that's the problem.
So
we need to position.
The key thing is if he knows you.
Right. And we need to be positioned on the right side of the plumb line.
The position. That's where the position is, the plumb line.
But, you know, when we hear what Wesley came up with, was you know it's not just Wesley. It's every, you know, that's the mainstream doctrine.
He may have been the one that started that. I don't know.
It could be. You know, it sure shows you it goes back, you know, much before the rapture doctrine. But the gospel is not the leaven. You know, the leaven is not the gospel. You know, the leaven is pride. Leaven is sin. You know, in Mark chapter 8, verse 15, and he charged them, saying, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Leaven represents sin, specifically pride. While preparing the Passover, they would spend the entire week before sweeping every nook and cranny of their house of leaven, symbolic of the continual purging process that must take place in obedience to the Lord. The process today has ceased. Purging sin today from the corporate church has been replaced with a counterfeit agenda founded on merchandising. The merchandise is you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Once again, the irony of our Lord, as we see the very lesson the parable of the leaven is teaching, playing out as the leaven of pride causes the leaven church to miss the teaching. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, the light for darkness, and put their bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. These two false accounts are exactly what Isaiah is warning. Wesley's account, which is indicative of the predominant teaching of the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, is calling good evil.
Well, that's
and now,
absolutely right.
Yeah, or calling evil good.
Right,
you know,
calling evil good.
It's calling evil good. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It is impossible to see the mysteries of the kingdom of God while trapped inside the Babylonian harlot religious system. The 501c3 corporate church is the woman riding the beast. The understanding is not given to those fornicating in the harlot system. Matthew 13:11, he answered to them, saying, unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. And in Revelation 18 says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Matthew chapter 13 is describing the great falling away. Let no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So ironically, this foundational portion of scripture that the evangelical church has basically built its foundation on is error. And it is, in fact, describing the falling away, the fact that the church that built this foundation goes bad. Absolutely.
That's right. It's just describing the fall of, it is describing the falling away.
The whole thing, all chapter 13 is all the falling away. You know, the wheat and the tares, you know, it's all there. And it's been misinterpreted for, you know, hundreds of years. It's just absurd, isn't it? And now it's just at the end time that the book of Daniel's been unsealed. These words have been unsealed, you know, and God's given understanding to, you know, simple remnant believers would have nothing but a hunger for the truth. That's all
it's hard to believe they could get away with trying to. I wonder how many people at that time of John Wesley bought into that.
Hey, what about this?
There must have been a lot of Christians that didn't buy into that.
Let me ask you this, you guys. Do you think that the people that were hearing Jesus preach this, they were shaking in their sandals, baby, when Jesus was saying that a little leaven leavens the whole, you know, that the leaven comes in. They knew what he was saying, or at least some of them did.
People throughout history, Chris, have always known this.
Some people have always known.
There is always a remnant.
God's always preserved his
to do the Lord's will. And some come naturally, and some come from studying. But ultimately, the Lord knows your heart. And at this time, he's calling his people. And he's calling them so that they have to look at this repentance and choose what side of the plumb line they're going to be on. Because we just described the good and the bad, audience. How bad is it going to get out there? We can't say. But our war is in the spirit. Spiritually, we need to be armed for this with the Ephesians 6 armor of the Lord, the armor of light. Bill?
Yeah, it's I don't know how many people bought into this in 1750 at that time or whatever, but I would say there was probably some pastors around that that knew that this was false doctrine. Now today they don't.
No.
But here's supposed to be a great Bible scholar. Jesus tells him in the parable of the tares, don't pull up the tares, my angels are going to do that. So how is this thing going to grow up and be so wonderful and glorious if he's got to come down here and have his angels pull up the tares? Something doesn't add up.
No.
I mean...
And there is no audience. That's the thing that you have to understand when you study the scriptures, that the rendering of I will have my angels.
He wouldn't need angels if this was true. He wouldn't need angels to do this.
No, that's right. We got leaven. Leaven will make everything good.
And if you're warring in the spirit and you're recognizing these simple parables have been overturned to mean the exact opposite of what they mean. And I encourage you all to listen to Brother Bill has broken down all the parables in early shows. It might be three or four pages back on previous entries at the bottom left-hand link. All of these parables are explained. And you're given identifications of metaphoric applications that you could just plug into your Strong's Concordance, or you can plug into your Bible and search out the meanings. You don't need a concordance. It helps. But your Bible will reveal to you the truth. And because we don't have the capacity to even fathom the total Bible outlay, we can only give you the pieces that were given to us. But to do the will of the Father, you need to know these things. You need to know the truth through your own studies.
I would say reconciling and understanding the truth and, you know, having the Holy Spirit show you that what Chris had brought forth here in those two parables is absolutely 100% truth. That could just give you an idea how much they've lied to you about everything else.
But what's next?
What
else is, if this is wrong?
It's only
that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start picking away at this stuff and present it in a matter like this. And this is on my heart now. And you know, focusing on the parables, the misinterpretation of the parables, because, you know, this is the Lord used to teach the multitude, and this is where our hearts are, is to wake up the multitude.
And audience, the application that Chris is talking about the proper rendering of these parables, is the Lord Jesus Christ teaching you through His Word the identification of your generation? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. It's as simple as, woe unto you guys that are running these churches and synagogues and temples and domes and this and that. They're all the same.
You know, I'd like to step in here real quickly, and we've discussed this in the past. We were on a forum where there's several, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred people, and there was thousands of posts, 6,000, maybe 5,000 or 6,000. And they just couldn't see this. And I think a large part of it, and that was one guy that had real strongholds and stumbling blocks that was, you know, defending the pack. But I think the biggest thing that keeps people from seeing this is, oh my gosh, you're telling me that I was lied to?
Uh-huh.
That's so hard for them to overcome.
It is.
That is so hard that even if they want to see it, that's what they really run up against. They just can't imagine they could be that deceived.
And it's rejected knowledge, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
And those people on that forum were probably a lot, you know, they're a lot sharper than most people in churches. And they couldn't get it. And they couldn't get it. You know, there was one or two there that got it. But, you know, the well over 90% of that forum didn't get it.
Unbelievable numbers. Shocking. To say the least, that throughout Scripture, leaven's a bad thing.
And so are fowls of the air.
Fowls of the air are as bad as you could get.
Go look all through the Scripture, fowls of the air, everywhere.
They rip, they tear. These fowls of the air are buzzards. They're eagles. They feed on dead animals. These are the fowls in the air.
The chief baker and the chief butler, was it the baker that had the fowls in his hair, on his the top of his head, you know, and they picked the flesh off of his body after he died, was the fowls of the air, and when Joseph was in prison.
Common sense, audience, tells you that you've been lied to at this level.
Yeah, this is common sense, right? This is plain old common horse sense.
And what we're telling you is, it doesn't matter now that you've been lied to. Because today you've been preached the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is you who chooses to study yourself approved that will be given the Holy Spirit, if it's the Lord's will, that ye be separate from all this outside fleshly things going on. That you perform His will. That you open a door for somebody because it's the Lord Jesus Christ's will that you help that person. That you feed somebody. Because it's the Lord's will that you need to tell somebody the truth. And whether it's today or 50 years from now, or as Jesus said, I come like a thief in the night. And the proper rendering of my angels will do the reaping might be just that. My angels might do the reaping and get the people that are not in Christ, that are not in my salvation. The angels may come and get those people. We can't tell you.
Yeah, this set the rapture up, because how else could you become so saintly that you're going to be raptured? It's just the church becomes so saintly that they're raptured. Yeah, this is bigger than I thought it was, Chris. You had pointed this out to me the other day, and you know, I always knew it was such a bad rendering, but it's actually bigger than I thought it was.
And we didn't do the whole chapter. I mean,
I'm talking about just that those two verses that are so commonly talked about, and it is as big a lie as the 70 weeks of Daniel. I didn't really realize it.
Yeah, it is. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I know.
That's how they get raptured, because the church grows to so it gets this. It's fully leavened and it's ready to be raptured.
It's so awesome, yeah. And this is the mentality.
the loaf comes out of the oven in 2012, and it's fully leavened, and it'll just, it's so leavened that it'll just rise like a marshmallow.
Oh, that's right. Well, I know, I like that too, where it says, you know, many false prophets shall rise and deceive many.
Yeah, what
there rises,
you go.
What rises, what, the leaven,
right.
You know?
That's right. What rises is leaven, right.
It's unlimited, the analogies that go with that.
I would say they're on cloud nine.
And this is what you can get out of the King James Bible that you can't in these modern translations.
Right.
You can't have the richness of these words.
Like they don't have the richness, the harmonization, and the consistency.
Because I'll tell you what, as I was doing this study, you guys, I really saw Scripture, proving Scripture. Because that's what I didn't use the Strong's on this at all. I didn't need to. Because it was all the Scripture, you know, it was all there.
Like
you know,
your dictionary right there.
The air, you find where the fowls of the air are, and bam, right. You know, it's all the same meaning. And then they lead you to all the other, identities. You know, the beasts.
It's all in the Scriptures, audience.
It's the greatest history book that ever was ever written. Obviously it's the gospel. It's a dictionary. It's unbelievable what it is.
Any closing thoughts, Bill?
No, I just, other than to seek, you know, seek truth through the Holy Spirit and pray and just, and it's like it said, you know, try to receive the love of the truth. God sends the love of the truth. I mean, he gave his only begotten son. He so loved the whole world. And there's nobody that he will not give his truth to that truly seeks him. And stop listening to man.
Yeah.
Brother Chris.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, you know, the love of the truth means not loving the world, not loving anything on the world. You know, whatever there is here fleshly. You know, your relationships, you know, your family, your close relationships, that, you know, those things are things to hold in your hand, and only hold them lightly, and put the Lord first in everything you do, and he will bless you, with things, but the things of the world are meaningless to you. You'll find, and you know, you'll see, you know, your blessings will be the peace. You know, inside, the peace in your soul, the peace that surpasses understanding, that, you know, no words can describe, because you just see the vanity of this world. And,
you mean like, you know, race cars become not important anymore?
Yes, exactly. And you're talking to a guy that was obsessed with auto racing but the Lord left and he said, I go to prepare a place for you, you know, and if I go, I will surely come back. And, you know, he's been preparing that place for 2,000 years, and it's going to be pretty darn awesome, I'm pretty sure.
And
we're talking earlier about, you know, what's happening, this chaos, and, you know, this is all part of the new age, you know, and the new agers are all, you know, they're all buzzing like we are, because they know their thing is coming too. It's all the counterfeit. You know, the new agers are dealing with the counterfeit, because there will be a new age, you know, when Jesus comes in glory to rule and to reign, because he came the first time as a lamb, and next time he's going to come as a lion. You know, he's coming as the king, and we don't know how this is going to play out. It has not been revealed to us yet. We do know that the time leading up to the tribulation will be just as in the days of Noah, and like Bob said, no sign will be given to a wicked and adulterous generation. The wicked and adulterous generation is the serpents and scorpions, but
yes.
the God's remnant, they do get signs. And the Lord gives us signs continually. These birds, you know, we recognize, you know, birds, you know, falling out of the sky, and dead fish, and mountains burning. You know, we definitely see these things as spiritual signatures. The Lord gives us prophetic signatures, and we praise Him because we know He's talking to us. You know, we're just watching and waiting, and sharing what He gives to us. And. And we just want to encourage all the listening audience to just, you know, endure to the end, because, you know, we've made it this far, and it's around the corner. You know, the times and seasons are changing. I don't know about you guys, but, man, time is flying. I was just getting bummed out about winter, and now it's over, you know, and it's like, you know, this
yeah,
is...
Yeah, it's been going
it's
that
almost,
way for me, too.
It's amazing how things, you know, it's because there is a shift going on as far as the spirit and the natural are colliding, and the space-time
I've even heard
continuum.
Younger people say that.
Yeah.
As a child, I didn't really feel that way as a child.
Yeah, a year was an eternity.
Right, and when you get older, time kind of goes faster. But I've even had my grandson telling me that now, for the last few years. So things are, I think things are picking up.
And the thing is, it's exciting. I mean, what a privilege that the Lord's accounted us to be the end time saints, to proclaim the mysteries of the kingdom of God to this fallen, wicked and adulterous generation. What a privilege, because when...
Or even to have this truth revealed to you is just, it's mind-boggling that the Lord would choose you to give you this truth.
I know. It's the most precious thing. It's the pearl.
Yep.
Audience, we we preach this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we try and convey to you the truth of Scripture. And it's good news.
Amen.
And what we've recounted in this simple parable could be passed on. Because if it is taught to someone, anyone that is not in the truth, it may make them think this over. And your personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ will make you shine in terms of being a light, a beacon, armed in the full armor for the spiritual wars, but understanding the fleshly. All salvation is found in our Lord Jesus Christ, audience. And he stated in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, liberty and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Audience, them that are bruised from this false teaching, but the Lord calls you through him to do his will. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. Good night.